Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursalin. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. But we will try to explain. We had made a journey to the blessed lands of Syria a couple of weeks ago from this masjid. The Imam of the masjid was a very unique company for us. We learned a lot from him. We all benefited greatly. The journey had a lot of things to learn, a lot of lessons, and I am sure he himself would have mentioned it in the masjid. And in different occasions, we also discussed it over bayanat, so I will not now go back into those, what we saw in which town, who we met. I will try and take you through a journey of what is called life's lessons. But in the light of Quran, and to explain why it's so important, that it is not only ulama that make these journeys. And it is not journeys of excursions. It is not journeys just to go see a country. But there are lessons to be learned. Many a time when I think of the journeys that I have made, by Allah's kindness I have traveled many places. But lessons were always taken the greatest from the places which have poverty in them. In the place where you see a person who has nothing, but he can teach you everything. You come back and for months it remains in you. What he said, how he said it. It made me understand that the difference sometimes between a truthful person and a liar. Me and you are liars. Because our words are very, very sweet. The tongue is like, it speaks the highest level. When we sat with those people, there were people who lived years and years under bombs. When you live under a bomb, that man when he says that Allah does, and when I say Allah does, we say Allah does and we have a support of our bank balance. Let that dollar just go a little bit and the rand starts and immediately we forget my entire bayan is there. The whole bayan is there. That man learnt Iman without any balance behind him. Without any house, without any support. I met a person, I asked him that, when you would go out for ribat, to protect the lands from being bombed by the enemy, then like every time you're going out, you're making a salam to your family, it could be your last salam. Every time. Every time. So I said, how is it to make that salam? He said, there would be times when my wife would look at me with that, again you're going, you just came the other day. Going means 17, 18, 19 days in a month. And then you get permission to come home, everyone is so excited and 2 days later you're gone again. He said, sometimes the wife would look at me in the eye. And then I would say to her, remember you came to this country for Allah. And I came to this country to die for you. So it was one sentence. There was no long bayan in this. One sentence. And then he would leave. Dars of Iman. When we will visit these people, and we need to visit, more than us, I feel nowadays our women need to visit. We live in a life which is very far. They said because of the internet, the world has become small. But that's not true. The internet has made America closer to us. It has made Switzerland closer to us. The only thing we're seeing is smarter buildings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when your desire for more comes, when you looked at somebody who got something else higher than you, he says, sometimes why don't you look at the one who got less than you? He says, then you will really appreciate the favors of Allah. Perhaps you have also seen Gaza. I also saw Gaza on a picture. Maybe Syria, we never knew the war in Syria took place. Perhaps people saw it on a picture. But the difference between the two pictures is, when you will see Switzerland and America, on the picture it looks so unique. But when you visit it, there's nothing unique about it at all. The closer you go to it, the more you realize what a lie it is. But the lands which have nothing, when you look at it in a picture, you'll never understand what it is. And when you go there, you really understand. The truth is where there's no wealth. Lies is where there's a lot of fashion. When we look at the two pictures, our desire to build another room comes. Although we saw one man who got no house, when you go on the ground, when you visit these lands, you'll see a man and his entire family is staying in one small room. But the biggest dars which will make us all feel shy is that man will not look at us with the eye of, can you help me? Rather he will smile. He will smile. And his one sentence is, I thank Allah because others had it even harder. Others had it even harder. That we never heard in our people. That we never heard in our people. The wealthiest of men will come and say, but I just need that one taweez, that one dua, you know, that one lift. We never hear. I thank Allah because others are going through hard things. The dars of iman comes from the people of iman. Dars of iman comes from the people of iman. Me and you, we both need it. Our wives and children need it. Why? So the surah will explain. This is called Surah Al-Mu'minun. The surah of what is a believer. I'm a believer, you are a believer. But when this surah is going to speak about what is a believer, in Quran, Allah Tabarakala discusses the best of the believers. And then Allah Tabarakala discusses the worst of the disbelievers. And in between, that whole thing is left open. That everyone has to see where we fit in. Sometimes when we read Quran, we get scared that are we sliding down towards the disbelievers. Because everything that's being described about the disbelievers is in us. And everything described about the believers, we're finding it in others. We don't have it. That is why Quran is Quran. Allah Tabarakallah is not saying, do this. He said, you are a believer, I'm sure you got this. I'm sure you got this. And when the believer looks and he says, I don't have it, then Quran doesn't talk. Quran doesn't talk. It's asking me to say, you talk to yourself. Are you sure you are a believer? Are you sure you are a believer? The beginning of the surah will explain what a believer is. The end of the surah will go back again to what a believer is. At the end of the surah, and we'll start there first. At the end of the surah, Allah will show a believer and the disbeliever. In the land of Sham, if you wanted to, you could have seen two groups. One is the group who were believers. They trusted Allah. So much they trusted Allah. They read Quran. They practiced. If you had to sit in one of their lessons, I told that man, if you had to be in our country, you will be the Sheikhul Hadith of the Madaris. What points of Quran, but you living that points? For a man to say this, that Allah Tabarakala ordered us, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَةٍ, that you must prepare for your enemy whatever you can. You must prepare whatever you can. Who is Quran saying this to? It said it to them, but it's also saying it to us. They heard it, they did it. We hearing it immediately, we'll say what we can prepare. Then he says, then Allah Tabarakallah then tells us, why must we prepare? How much you can manage? Everyone can manage a little. We can't manage a lot. But the man will speak, he said, when we read this verse, we also looked at, if you had to understand a group of believers in Syria, They were surrounded, and inside they had an enemy. They were surrounded by Russia, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, Fez. Then you have the Syrian regime, who is being funded by all these sides. And then they said the worst of all is they had ISIS. Russia, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, the Syrian regime, and then you have ISIS. You have seven enemies from different angles attacking you. And you are a group who have no funding from anyone. Whatever you can steal, you steal it. There must be days that you come and you say, let's just give up. Let's just give up. Many of them were people who came from other countries. They were not even fighting for the land, which means if one day we take over this land, it's not our land. I don't live here. It's not my land. I asked a man from Germany, what made you come here? He was once upon a time non-Muslim, reverted. I said, what made you come here? He said, I lived in a country which the world calls so high, first class. He was joking first, but what he said? He said, we drank water in our country which was recycled water. And we really thought we're someone in the world. He said, here we came to a country where even the water is pure. He says, people look at our country and think, wow. He said, we were living in a dream, in a lie. He said, when I came here, in the battlefield, I found my Allah. Left everything. Left everything. A believer. So they would say that Allah Tabarakala only told us, do how much you can. And then Allah Tabarakala mentioned why, what's your purpose, what you must do. He said, turhibu nabihi adu Allah. All your job is to make sure the enemy are always scared. He said, that we could do. As for victory, he says, Allah promised, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Victory comes from Allah. Now what lesson that gave to me and you? If that man, in a period of about 10 to 15 years while he was there fighting, 10 to 15 years, with no dream of victory, if that man could not fall in depression, he said, all I must do is what I can do. I must make the enemy scared, I can do it. Victory is from Allah, I'll wait for it. 15 years going out, sometimes seeing your brother pass away, sometimes hearing your best friend gone, sometimes hearing the bomb fell when you were not there and your wife and your children are gone. In that entire 15-20 year period, that man never saw depression. Now you'll say, you are a believer. But what about me and you? We don't have seven enemies surrounding us. We don't have bombs falling on us. Allah Tabarakallah says, you do what you have to do to try to earn a halal sustenance. That we all know, because money is the main thing in our life. So I started my business. It's running well, running well, running well. And then something happens. And then I had to close my business. Maybe I have to go work for somebody else, that's all. But you will see that man, they'll say, come and meet him. Give him some targheeb. Give him little bit courage. I'll go sit with the man, I'll say, how much you earn every month now? He said, now that I'm working for someone, only 60, 70,000 a month. Only 60, 70,000. He says, times are hard. Times are hard. No bomb falling. He never lose anything. He said, I used to read my Yasin at night. Didn't Allah promise? He said, I read Surah Waqiyah, no poverty. He said, all your Quran was for your dunya. He said, Allah wanted you to earn to feed your family. Are you feeding your family? You feeding your family. Did Allah Tabarakallah ever say that nothing will ever happen wrong in your life? No. He said, so why are you jumping there? That man won't understand. But when that man who had bombs falling on him said, it was never our responsibility for victory. So if we loved, we made shukr to Allah. And if we died, or our friends died, we thanked Allah. Said we thanked. I would ask them how you would manage when they told you your brother passed away in the battle. They would say, Allah would make it very easy. Sometimes before the news would reach us, because the brother would be in one area, you would be in another area. Before the news even reaches, the person who was with the brother sees a dream already. So when the news comes to you, you know your brother passed away, but don't worry, what a dream. What a dream. The man says, I saw him in a dream, your brother. Then I asked him, what happened to you? He said, I heard a bomb, a bang, and I saw myself in the clouds. We heard of this in the books of the past. We heard it now today with people in front. He said, you would hear that dream that my brother never found, felt the pangs of death also. He was already in the sky. Already in the sky. But when that man will speak, he will say, our job was just to do what we could do and the rest was left to Allah. No depression. If someone is going for counseling and he's paying so much to that counselor, they say that pain is inside. 30 years ago in school, someone laughed at you. Someone told you you're short. Says because of that, it stayed inside. Now 30 years later, it's troubling me. That's why my marriage is not going right. My business. Now the counselor says, let's go inside your mind. Let's go and find that problem. Who made you like this? And you say, it was your sister. Why she told you you're short? Sister. Now you're angry with your sister. Now if you want to, instead of spending all that money for the counselor, you and your sister buy a ticket and go to Syria. And go and meet two aunties sitting outside a house which is not a house. They're sitting in a garden, there's no garden, there's only rubble. Their chair is like half falling. And they're sitting there, it's like a Sunday morning. Like the happiest people in the world. Happiest. They saw the bomb falling. Whatever they put on their back, they put it. They walked the whole country. They lived in tents for so many years. Then they were told, it's victory, we got victory. They again took whatever they could. They put it back on their backs. They jumped in a car. Wherever they came home. When they came home, they saw nothing there. Bombed out. But what they did, they took their chairs, they put it there, and they said, we're back home. Back home. You will meet that man who's smiling. He said, it was just here that the bomb fell. Five of my children passed away in the rubble. He said, it happens here. You'll say, inna lillah. You'll say, walhamdulillah. If you want a real bayan of iman, you get it from the people of iman. You want real counseling, you'll get it from a man. He'll look at you and say, why are you sad like? You'll say, times are tough at home, you know. That one tap is just not getting fixed. He'll say, come for tea like. And you'll enter a house with no tap. No tap. And you'll see him so happy. Real counselor will be that man. He just has to put you in your house and all your depression will go. All your depression. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's son. He says, I shifted to a place where the people were wealthier than me. He says, wallah, after that I could not find a man in a more depressing state than myself. He says, then I made the move back to the old people. I made a move back to the old area, where the people were of a lower condition than me. And he says, wallah, I cannot find a man happier than me. So our depression, we brought it upon ourselves. That we stayed away from where we're supposed to be visiting. And we started visiting what we're not supposed to be visiting. When my holiday came, it's Dubai. It's that 5-star. Even if I go for Umrah, and all of us are guilty of it. The haram is not the real object. It's where am I staying? Where am I staying? Because luxury for me is everything. So when I only saw luxury, I remained in the most depressive state at all. I got a gold bracelet, but hers is bigger than mine. Hers is bigger than mine. Suddenly I forgot I got gold. And I just remained irritated. Why daddy bought her that one and he only bought me this one? Why? And now I visit a land where they don't even know the meaning of gold. They don't even know the meaning of gold. In this world, in the world of richness, it's an amazing thing compared to the world of poverty. It's the lessons of Iman you learn. What a word our Nabi told us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When your eye falls too much on the people who got more, let it go to the people who got less. What a lesson it was. Let it go. Have we not seen an example of inheritance? In the wealthiest of families, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believing man and a believing woman, they do the actions of Iman for 60 years. And when they are on the brink of death, then they want to cause harm by making a bequest, a wasiyat. They want to now harm the inheritor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and from there they go straight into the fire. You'll wonder, like, does your son not have enough? Does that one not have enough? You made the man the executor. He wanted to steal. That one mustn't get. That one mustn't get. So the example of that man, because who's inheriting? If you're inheriting, it means your father or grandfather is rich, so you also rich. You can't be poor. If he was so wealthy, it means he already gave you your car, gave you your house, you already got it all. But you will see when inheritance comes. No one will open the envelope and smile. Whoever will open the envelope will see how much less came. Where's that other amount? One distribution we made. One distribution. I just sat on one side. I said, I remember when Umar radiallahu anhu sat one time when he saw that there was a woman who had no food. And then Umar radiallahu anhu took the food, then he put it in the pot. Then when the children finished eat and they were playing around, now the mother was comfortable. Umar radiallahu anhu just sat and he said to his slave, I just want to see them happy, that's why I'm here. I saw them sad, can I not see them happy? While we sat there, I was just looking at this. All the women were in niqab, remember that? A lot of people when they hear woman, they said, I'm going for that distribution. All the women were in niqab. All of them. But what you see, happiness. A child coming, there's sweets on the table. Our child, you'll hear the child crying why he never got the other lollipop. Why he got the big one? This child who never tasted the sweets, he takes one sweet, you tell him no, take more, he smiles like shocked. For him, like Jannah has come on earth, sweets. And then when that woman takes that envelope and she opens it, so one woman opened the envelope, it was our zakat, your zakat. If zakat could make them so happy, it was at that moment I said, that here we're just distributing somebody else's zakat and it makes us so happy. Imagine the man who had his own zakat to distribute. But it would not be that the smile, it would be the lessons of the distribution. Ni'mal amir ala babil faqir. Wonderful is the rich man who goes to the poor person. Me and you have to start going. We're tired of hearing the Red Cross. We're tired of hearing this Christian organization. Our every holiday must be, we're going to another country. My family is taking over this village. My family is doing this. After I came back, everyone's phoning me to say, when you're going next? It got nothing to do with me. It got to do with you go. Because when you go Umrah, no one phones me to say, you're coming with me. I'll take you. Only Syria must take you. You must go. You know how to go. You know how to book your tickets. You know how to find your hotels. Go. No one's going to rob you there. Go. Take your family. Then you will see a real world. That woman opened the envelope. $100. Our nature is, someone give me $100 hadiah. I'll just check two times. Maybe it was $200. Did $100 fall off somewhere? Maybe he forgot the other. Is that not our nature? That's why inheritance, we won't look at the 3 million that came, we look at that, why 500,000 never come. That woman opened it. She went to the worker, he came to tell me. She's so excited. She said, yesterday the food in the house all finished. She tells her child, lift up your hands, no food for tomorrow. So excited. She's not coming and say, can't you give me another 100? So excited. The lessons of Iman will be learned from the ground. When our eyes are always falling on the people who got more, our Nabi told us, it's time that we take our eyes to the people who got less. I want to discuss Surah Al-Mu'minun, inshallah, tomorrow night, maybe at Masjid Al-Hilal. We will discuss this, the lessons we learned from the Surah. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala make the journey that we made accepted in His courts. But may Allah make it an inspiration for all of you. It is not a once-off journey. It is not one group who takes aids. We are all one body. You can go and help one family, that's your family. You can go and help 10 families, that's your family. No aid organization can look after the whole country. But everyone can do, the whole world. We will inshallah very soon, already it's happening, Gaza is opening. A lot of countries have already gone, but there's always this. Gaza is there, Syria is there, Palestine is there. But the lesson for us is, it's not only our money. We have to go ourselves and put that money in somebody else's hand. And then the lessons that my Nabi said you will learn when your eye falls on the one who got less will start opening to us. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah.